You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Like some bad movie.
Oh, and was this a bad movie?
What are you talking about?
Holy shit, dude. Oh, lordy.
Welcome to Movie Sucktastic, everyone. That's Joey, I'm Scott, and we're going to be reviewing Death Laden Egg.
Yeah. Oh, where? How come you're not on the screen? God damn it.
Put me on the screen, damn
I'm
it.
I'm putting you on the screen, son of a bitch.
So I had never heard of this film until I came across it one day, and so I grabbed it immediately because it sounded bizarre. And also, I'm trying to fill in the gaps of my knowledge on Italian cinema, and this seemed like a good place.
Yes, it was not a bad place. Not a bad place at all.
So it's not quite a giallo film. It has some of the earmarks of a giallo film, but it's more like a really weird hybrid between a giallo horror film and like a French new wave cinema.
That's true. And I'll tell you what. The most horrifying thing in this movie is the animal cruelty.
which is probably why it has an X rating.
Yes, has to be.
Yeah. Yeah, because, what's that? Yeah.
Because, oh my God. What the fuck?
So, how do you want to start? You want to give it a synopsis of the film?
I mean,
you want to start from the beginning?
I can give you a synopsis of the movie. The short and simple synopsis of this is there's a husband and wife who own a chicken farm.
High-tech chicken farm.
And she is the chicken farm side, he is the business side, and they make that work. But on the side, he likes to kill prostitutes, because he's a serial killer.
It's a hobby, spare time.
I mean, all hobbies, you got to make time for them.
It breaks the tension,
Yeah. So, but Anna, which is his wife, her cousin Gabrielle, comes to visit, which of course makes things complicated. Because the husband,
right,
who is Marco, falls in love with her.
Polo.
Exactly. Right. So.
Sorry. Yeah, there's a whole lover's triangle thing going on.
But then, the one guy that he works with, he also.
The ad exec.
Yeah, he also falls in love with Gabrielle. And
we don't really find that out till near the end, though. That's kind of like the surprise twist in the third act.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
The film starts off with like the prostitute killing stuff.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I sidetracked. Sorry.
I mean, but that's the basic gist of this film. Mm-hmm. That's the very simple plot of the movie.
Now I want to read you the first note I made while watching this film.
Okay.
Because I think that'll lead us into talking about the soundtrack a little bit. Because
the one that was done by a fucking toddler?
My opening note was opening credits. Med school slides of chicken embryos while somebody fist fucks a piano.
Yeah. My first thought is like, who did this soundtrack? A fucking toddler? Because that's all it is. It's just random keys being hit. Fucking terrible.
Another note, I don't think the soundtrack guy knows how to play any of these instruments, maybe the violin a little bit. That's about it.
Yeah, sure.
It's got a very bizarre, it makes the piano soundtrack sound like In Death. You know, it's, and especially it's even worse in the chicken coop, because in the chicken coop they play this kind of Hawaiian bebop scatting soundtrack.
Right. It is,
which we see during the first, which we see during the chicken shoot, the photo shoot in the chicken
right
farm early in the beginning, in the introduction to the film. Yeah, but at the very beginning starts at the hotel.
Right.
And I almost got whiplash from the different rooms that they showed. He was trying to do like a Hitchcock thing. He said, this is all the stuff happening in the hotel. And look, a dead prostitute.
I mean, but it was the one thing that this film achieves, at least for its time period, is it's very art house. It definitely has that art house feel to it. There's nothing horrifying. Like I said earlier, there's nothing horrifying in this movie in any way except for the animal cruelty.
Except for the animal cruelty. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and there's a lot of it.
There's quite a bit of it. And there's no nudity in this except for the one shot where she comes to the window after the workers, they come to his house to protest and break a window. She comes to the window with her arms in front of her breasts, and you see nothing.
Now, see, there's a very integral part of the plot here. Once we get introduced to the prostitute killing aspect, we follow what's his name? What's our hero's name? I forgot.
Madriani.
Marco. You said Marco. Sorry, I meant the character's name.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the ad exec.
No. We meet Marco at the hotel where he kills his prostitute, then goes about his day, comes to work, has a photo shoot in the chicken place with his wife and her, what'd you say she was? Like a cousin?
She's a cousin.
Cousin, right. So, but after that prostitute killing and we are introduced to the chicken industry, we get to learn a lot about the chicken industry. We go to the chicken Wall Street. We go to chicken ad execs. We have boardroom meetings where we're talking about the chicken business.
Chicken.
You're going to learn so much about the poultry industry that you didn't want to know.
Right. Chicky. It's not good. It's not good. Oh, here, let me put that there. There we go.
Oh, speaking of the French New Wave Giallo Italian directing, Holly turned to me like maybe a half hour in. Said, "What's with all the close-ups?"
There's a lot of them.
It's a thing. That's a thing. That's an Italian thing.
Well, yeah, and I did ask if it was Giallo. You said maybe not. Yeah, I think this does lean towards Giallo.
A little bit, but again, it's missing. Like the body count is very low. We see three prostitutes killed, but it turns out, as we learn later, it turns out that he's just faking it with them.
Yeah.
The film kind of tries to trick you throughout there.
There's a little plot twist.
Yeah, and but then you have the actual deaths at the end. So it's only the body count is
two.
I wrote it down. Two, three. Don't forget Blackie.
Oh.
Poor Blackie.
The dog.
What's up with that?
It's a cute little dog, too.
Yeah.
It was like an Italian Greyhound Chihuahua mix. That's what it looked like. Kind of looked like my dog a bit. I was like, oh. They put him up there on purpose. And then they probably called him. And he slipped off the vent or, you know, the ductwork. And they filmed it. They're like, yeah, we're going to film that. We're going to keep it. It's going to be great. It's like, yeah, what the fuck's wrong with you people?
Is Italians, I'm telling you.
I don't know.
Now, it's during the whole poultry industry meetings that Marco meets the ad exec.
Right. Well, first they want him to like spearhead, you know, like these meetings and like oversee everything. He's like, well, I don't know anything about it. And they're like, well, we're going to give you help. And that's when they bring him in.
Right. And he shows them this advertising. We're going to have the chicken as the mother of the family. Yeah. And here's the chicken is the human of the today. Just like the worst, like Yellow Submarine-esque drawings.
Right.
That they showed. But so then they end up going to a house
probably
party.
Also done by the same toddler that did the soundtrack.
They hold a house party.
They do.
And the ad exec comes, and he decides we're going to play this game. It's a psychology game, psychological game. And so they have the, and this is, I guess this is back in the old days when you used to have to entertain guests. They just let them walk around and stuff.
Just let them walk around. He
has them empty out this entire room. I mean, they even go so far as the spackle over the nail holes. Like this, it's a spotless white room by the time they empty all the furniture and everything out. And then he's like, now two people have to go in. And I'm thinking, don't kids do this with a closet?
Yeah, and a bottle.
You're rearranging furniture here for this. Yeah, I mean, it's weirdest version of spin the bottle. Holly, meanwhile, is like, yeah, I've got a parlor game for you. It's called Repainting the Room of Truth. Everybody grab a brush. It's oh, like the weirdest fucking thing.
I know.
It's just... Yeah, I mean, you know, like, you just, in most cases, you just end up in the closet, and you're in there for, 5 or 10 minutes, and you come out. But this was way more awkward.
I did like the one couple that came out with the woman crying, and the guy just said, "You asked." I did enjoy that. I thought that was funny.
It's like, what's the matter? No, it's nothing. We can go in there to get the other two, which is Mariani and Gabrielle. Oh. We can go in there and we're stronger than them.
So there's a shorter version of this film. We watched the uncut version.
Yeah, I wish I didn't.
And you,
it was very long.
And you probably noticed that because every now and then
it went into Italian.
You would lose the dubbing. Yeah.
I had to turn on four subtitles so that the Italian parts. I could read what they were saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had four subtitles on through the whole thing. Half of the poultry scenes were cut out of the film. That's why all of a sudden the poultry businessmen are talking in Italian again, and then it goes back to English later. So they cut out a lot of the poultry industry for the American cut.
How long is the cut version? Because this one's an hour and 44 minutes. It's got to be about 90 minutes.
It's around 90 minutes. They cut all that stuff out, and I think they cut out his friend too, the weird amnesiac friend that keeps popping up every now and then.
Oh yeah, well that all of that was in Italian.
Yeah, and all of that had no bearing on anything whatsoever.
Yeah, at one point I'm like, do they kill people together or I'm like, what is going on here? I can't remember anything. It's because he clocked you in the head because he figured it out. I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, what's happening?
I feel like that should have been a whole different movie.
Yeah, right? It was Memento before Memento happened.
Yeah, it didn't even have any bearing on the prostitute killing part of it.
No, not really.
I mean, like he said, I remember you used to go through girls like hankies or anything like that. He just was like, I don't remember anything except you.
Isn't that amazing that I can recall you? It's like, yeah, but why?
He shows up at the party and they're like, no, go home.
There's a road that forks. Two roads. It's like, shut the fuck up and leave. Take one of the two roads and get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's around the halfway mark. That's where... Now, so... Also, at another subplot going on during this movie that has no bearing on much of anything is at the poultry farm, they have a Herbert West looking mad scientist guy who he's developing headless chickens.
Hold on. That is a perfect description. Herbert fucking West.
Holly said it before I did. So that looks like Herbert West.
It's perfect.
It's like, yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's Jeffrey Combs right there.
But and, yes, and you're right. They're experimenting, or he is, years and years, decades of work to basically create headless chickens with all meat and no bones, or very little bones.
Yeah, like basketballs, feather-covered basketballs.
And at one point, the table is breathing. Like, this is a film from 1968. These aren't plastic bladders that they drew on. They somehow... fucking did this to real chickens.
No, those weren't real chickens.
They looked pretty real.
No, they were special effects, Joey. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I don't know. Dude, That scene gave me flashbacks because I swear at the comic store, I remember Sean Philip Hines Esquire coming in and talking about how KFC was breeding chickens without heads. And I remember arguing with him saying, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. How you know how much money it would cost to keep a chicken alive without a head? That's ridiculous. Little do we know, it was
how do you feel now?
By then.
How do you feel now?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Sean.
You owe Mr. Hines an apology.
Where do I have it written down? Genetically altered headless chickens was not on my bingo card for this film.
No.
Nowhere. At one point I wrote, now we're learning way too much about the poultry business.
Yeah, I didn't need to know anything about the poultry business, to be completely honest.
My favorite shot of the poultry business was when they're in the one guy's office and they show, and there's a wall of like magazine holders, but they've got holes in them, and the guy's filing chickens.
Dude, when that scene happened, I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at here? And he's like, they make great like file, you know, whatever. But sometimes they attack, and they just showed his wrist, and it's like all cut up. It's like, what? Why do you have them in these fucking file boxes? That's why they fucking bit you. And the
why
fact
are
that,
you filing chickens?
Yeah, and the fact that it's in the movie, like those chickens are not trying to get out of those boxes because they're probably tortured and restrained in such a way that they can't fucking move.
Mm-hmm.
They probably took their legs and their wings and they probably tied them down. Or put them in something where it's like up to like their neck and it's like a drawstring and in the box they go.
They're easier to store that way, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, of course.
And actually, so near the end of the film, with the headless chicken thing, our Marco is like aghast. He's like, this is barbaric. These are monsters. We will do no such thing. And he goes to the head and the heads are like, what are you, crazy? Headless chickens. This is a gold mine. You know, as I wrote down here, is all of a sudden this film's turning into a scathing indictment of the poultry industry. There's also an undertone of socialism going throughout the film. There's another subplot that doesn't come to anything where the poultry farm since they're now went new age and now they're using all machinery, they fired all their workers. So every now and then the fired workers just come up and glare at them through the fence. There's a bit of talk about capitalism and socialism and that stuff, and it's obviously leans towards.
You're gonna have to deal with the unions.
Exactly. Yes. It's a weird jab at social commentary in a film about chickens and dead prostitutes. It's interesting. Interesting.
Like I said, it's art house. It's art house. Not good, but it's art house. So Gabrielle and is his name Madriani? I mean, I keep saying that, but I don't know if that's actually it.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Here, I have it right here. It's Mondaini.
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 Okay.
We'll call him Mondaini to make it sound better. Mondaini and Gabrielle. Really, they're the ones that fall in love, and what they want to do is they want to frame Marco for killing Anna so that they can be together, which makes no fucking sense because the two of them have no reason to do that.
They want the chicken farm.
I mean, is it left to them in some fucking will? Because I don't think it is.
No, it's not a good motive for the killing.
I mean, it's not like, you know... It's not like Gabrielle was Marco's wife and Anna's the cousin and you got to get Anna out of the way. You know what I mean? It didn't make any sense. You know, it's like you two can just go run off together or not. You can just go get a fucking house in Milan, Rome, whatever the fuck you live. You can just be together. You don't have to fucking kill anyone. Make any fucking sense.
No, and the way they're going to frame him for murder is Mondani. He is, we saw him at the beginning at the hotel eavesdropping on Marco. He's aware of Marco's little fetish.
Right.
And so he gets the same room and kills Marco's wife there to pin it on him when he's coming to the hotel room for his.
Right. But the two of them think that he is actually killing prostitutes, but
right.
It's just a role play.
Right.
So it bites them in the ass because the two of them are detained by police at the end of the film.
And the other thing they don't know is that while they're doing this, trying to frame him for her murder, Marco's trying to murder her. Marco's trying to...
he's trying to get rid of the body.
He planned on having an accident, an industrial accident.
Right.
With the industrial chicken feed grinder.
Yeah, you got the idea from when the dog fell in.
Poor Blackie.
I know. Cute dog.
But, yeah, so we see him at one point adjusting the railing, loosening the railing, sabotaging it. And later on, he's like, you know, you could put the switch so when he turns it on, it'll startle her and she'll fall in. So when he finds her dead, it's kind of like a bittersweet. He's like, oh, I wanted this, but now am I sure? You know, it's like right. he turns into the most sympathetic character of the film.
Because he didn't actually kill anyone.
Yeah, he wanted to, but now that it actually happened, he's feeling a little upset about it.
He's like, God damn. What's happening here?
And then he figures out at the last minute that it was Mondani because she has his weird bracelet clutched at his hand hand.
The scar on his face hand. Didn't give it away?
No, the scar didn't give it away. No. Cops show up.
Nobody mentions it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we have a dead woman here.
It's like...
He has four red lines going down his cheek.
Well, it was two.
We have a dead woman.
It was two. But,
two.
But the thing is, was DNA testing not as advanced in 1968? I mean...
Oh, definitely not.
It's not that hard. I mean, it's like, listen, blood under the fingernails, blood on your face.
They could probably type it, like type A, type B. I don't know about DNA at that point.
Maybe.
But when Holly turned to me... When Marco finds the bracelet on him and he falls in, that's what Holly said. This is why men shouldn't wear jewelry. Now, so at the end, when he finds his dead wife, he smuggles her out of the hotel, and he takes her to the chicken farm to dispose of the body in the grinder. But when he finds the bracelet, he's overcome by emotions and he falls in himself.
Right.
This
is the best grinder in the world.
I swear, the entire film was an industrial ad for this fucking feed grinder. Right. It's like, oh, look, you can get rid of all the bodies when you want. It's just
after Blackie the dog. After Blackie the dog fell in, and they focused on the grinder, the two wheels, which is an old technology. They just, because you do it they would do it manually with like levers by hand, you know, but they've turned it into a more modern and it does it automatically. But where I'm going is they focus on this. Like you see it spin like several times and I'm like, when is this gonna turn red? When am I gonna see little bits of the dog? You know? You never do. Yeah. And I'm like,
no, because this is one damn good feed grinder.
It's the best grinder ever made. Sure, it's still in operation somewhere.
And then the last scene of this film literally tells us to go suck an egg. Yeah. The hell was with that? Oh, wait a minute. What was the whole subplot with the scarf?
I don't know.
Remember the scarf with the symbols on it? What's this? It's turning up everywhere. Stores are selling it. And then nothing.
Yeah, no. It was was it cut out of the film? It probably was.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just...
The symbols, didn't he like draw it on her back in lipstick too?
No, he was just slashing her with the lipstick. He was like, yeah. Now you no Eldritch symbols. He was just slapping, slash, slash, slash.
Because in the beginning of the movie, he had a knife. He had a couple of knives.
You know what?
They make you think that he's slicing her up.
I love the suitcase, the briefcase. Every time he opened that briefcase, he was like knives, handcuffs, wigs. It's
like, who's the wig for? Is that for him?
It never came up either.
Never did.
Well. just showed he had a lot going on, man. A lot of stuff. Hey, this film goes in four different directions, and it only gets to one solution, really, out of all of them. Excuse me. Pardon me. I mean, I'm double checking my notes to see if I forgot anything. I mean, by the way, I watched this twice. I watched it a second time. I watched it a second time with audio commentary.
That's right. There is audio commentary.
Yeah, but this was commentary. It wasn't with the director or anybody. It was by two guys who have written books about Italian horror films.
I didn't listen.
So one thing that pissed me off is I'm like, all right, the first thing I'm going to find out is what's going on with this goddamn soundtrack. They didn't mention the soundtrack until like the last 15 minutes.
What?
That never even came up. Yeah.
It's one of the first. It was like the first thing we talked about.
Because it's the first thing that slaps you in the face with this film. It was an interesting audio commentary, but it's just a little bit too gushy for me. Remember the scene when Marco and Gabrielle are driving in the car, and all of a sudden they just start intercutting it with this weird
car accident
on the side of the road?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember it's like, beeps, beeps, beeps. Yep. The two guys on this audio commentary, brilliant. Brilliant. Man's a genius. So what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah,
Come on. A little too gushy on the film. I didn't really get too much insight into it.
I mean, let's put it this way. They were hired to do the commentary for it, so...
Oh, no.
They're probably a little bit over the top on purpose.
You know, I guess if you've written, like, three books on Italian horror films, you're really going to be into the nitpicky, the nitty-gritty. And this is a gritty nitty.
This is actually a really good restoration of the film, too.
Oh, no, yeah, it's a great...
I was surprised at how good the quality was on this, so I was very surprised by that.
Gina Lollobrigida, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but she was a model. She was very well known at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had learned that from the audio commentary. I didn't know otherwise, but which explains why they have like the let's buy each other lingerie scene.
Well, I mean they were trying to be have some erotic undertones and
erotic. You
know, they were trying to get that sexualization for the time period as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. Was this was X-rated when it was released back in 1968?
I'm assuming it was X-rated because of the animal stuff again. Yeah. There wasn't really anything else in there that because even the prostitute murder scenes were like there was the one where he's cutting her and it didn't even go all the way, like there was a gap.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's pretty lame. But then you find out later, so yes, because he's faking it.
Yeah.
So it actually made sense. Like, so I mean, I don't even know if that was intentional or not, but like it worked.
You're right, because when I saw it, I'm like, well, it's a film from 1968. It's art house. Mm-hmm. It's probably low budget as well. I'm like, the blood is very, very red. I'm like, okay, they're not trying to make this look like he really slices her throat. And then later, I'm like, oh, well, that's why it looked like shit.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get it now.
Nowhere near as impressive as the headless chickens.
No. Well, when you cut chickens' heads off for real, you don't need special effects. They put them upside down in that fucking grinder thing to get all the blood out. They slice the chicken's neck, and they put it upside down. It kind of reminded me of that one newscast that went viral. Where they were talking.
I tried to get a picture of that to put in the slideshow.
Couldn't find it. Oh, no.
No. It wasn't worth the extra hassle. I Googled Sarah Palin chicken, and I figured that would do it, and it didn't. And at the point, I gave up.
You got to go on the dark web for that one.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. No, but that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember. I remember that.
Now, we started off with you saying it's a bad film, and I'm not sure if I mean, it's...
No, it's not a good movie. It's not. Sorry.
It's not. It's a lot in it. It's got a lot going on.
Doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah. I'm just glad we saw the uncut one.
I didn't even know that I grabbed the uncut one. I didn't know that there was a different cut than this. So I'm glad that we both got the same one, because it would be a little awkward... if we were reviewing two different ones.
Yeah.
Like,
no, well,
Scott would be like, yeah, mine went into Italian every once in a while. Wait, what? Mine didn't.
I assumed you were just going to watch it off my Plex. So.
No, I went and grabbed it.
Aren't you happy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not a good movie.
I give it 2.5 headless chickens.
There you go. Delicious.
No, what do you think? Out of 10 stars, what would you?
Well,
what
what's you it currently sitting at?
5.8. On IMDb.
This ain't a 6. This is a 5.
5, really?
Think of what... Okay, here we go.
All right, for the soundtrack, I'll give you a 5.
I'm just thinking of movies that are like sixes, and I'm just like, this ain't that. It ain't.
I enjoyed it so much, I want to give it more, but I think I enjoyed talking about it with you more than actually watching it, so I'll say 5 is fine.
Yeah, this is... I mean, listen. I almost want to give it a 4. I didn't like it that much. But I can compromise with a 5. I just can't do a 6.
No, I think 5's fair. Okay, we'll get a 5. You know, we've done a lot of 6s the last few episodes, so it's nice to break out of that.
All right.
Death laid an egg, ladies and gentlemen. Death laid an egg.
Yeah, so did we.
Oh, what was the named after? There was a different name in America. Damn, I didn't write it down.
Hold on, I have it right here. It was
also known as. It was known as something else somewhere else. Damn it, that makes sense, doesn't it? Idiot. A Curious Way to Love in Ireland.
In Italian, it's La Morte ha fatto l'uovo.
Isn't that the same thing?
That's it's Italian for death laid an egg.
Oh, there it is. Plucked. That was the alternate title.
Plucked?
Plucked.
Was that in... Oh, yeah. English. Alternate title right here.
Mm-hmm.
Plucked.
So that...
What a stupid plucked. Fucking name.
I like Death Laid an Egg. It's interesting.
I prefer Death Laid an Egg.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to spin the wheel for the next
we
one?
We are going to spin the wheel.
We try to land on a horror one for Halloween?
Listen... I don't know. We're going to find out. All right.
All right.
So the way this works is Scott and I both get a veto. If we spin, one of us can use a veto. Spin again. Another one can use their veto. Then you spin the last time, and then we got to do what we get. So here we go.
All right.
Spinning it. Oh, yeah. Some light jazz. I picked random for the music. What do we got here? We have The Medallion.
Oh, you don't want that.
What is that?
Jackie Chan.
I definitely don't want that.
Very bad movie.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get rid of that. I mean, all right. So okay. Do you want to use your veto?
I'll use mine.
Okay. All right. We'll use yours. We're going again.
Come on, horror.
Here we go.
Give me horror.
Sounds like a soap commercial. What do we got? Oh shit! Yeah, that you can't hear the music, but that's perfect. Gigli, which we are not fucking reviewing. Sorry. Wait till you listen back to the music that it picked for that. That was just a sign that we're not reviewing it.
All right, fucking fair
Gigli. Enough. All right, now we spin a third time, and we got to do what's on the screen. Those are the rules.
Yep.
So here we go. Third time's a charm. Third time's a charm.
No whammy.
Big money. Alley Cat?
Alley Cat.
The fuck is Alley Cat? Is that a horror movie?
Alley Cat.
Sounds like it could be.
One word?
Two words. Well, that's how it is in here.
God damn piece of shit, motherfucker.
Alley Cat.
Alley Cat, 1984. Come on. Wrong mouse. Alley Cat. Yes, 1984. A martial artist stops a street gang from stealing her car, but her grandmother ends up being killed by the same gang. She witnesses firsthand how corrupt and inept the law enforcement is and decides to take matters into her own hands.
Vigilante film. Okay.
Yeah. 1980s female vigilante film.
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah, this sounds good.
Though I like those.
In this part of the city, every street is a dead end.
Oh, boy. All right, Alley Cat. Okay.
Alley Cat.
All right.
Not a horror film, but...
It's at least got murder.
Murder, yes.
Murder.
Oh, and by the way, I just want to mention once again that I am still going strong on my watching a horror movie every night of the month of Halloween.
That's awesome. Good for you, man.
Yes, yes, yes. I just watched my 16th today. That's a new movie that's just out called Together.
Oh, I saw that. I liked it.
Oh, you saw that? Yeah. Yeah. Just saw that today.
Well, there was a huge lawsuit with that.
Was there?
Yes. So Dave Franco and Allison Brie, I believe that's her name. They're actually married in real life. Oh. Okay. So they were approached by a writing team with the concept. You can look this up online, and there is another movie that has not been released yet. They were approached with a concept about like this, you know, this film. They turned it down and then made their own movie and basically stole the main plot idea. And they made the movie. The other movie got made too. So now the other company, they are suing, a multi-million-dollar lawsuit about them stealing the idea.
Those Franco boys.
What sucks in the end is Together is actually a good movie. It's interesting concept. I really liked what they did in a lot of different scenes and the undertones.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't in love with the very, very end, but I was okay with it.
I saw it coming. I
saw it coming too. I just didn't love how it was executed, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I can feel I had the same reaction. Oh, one of the films I watched, this is going to shock you. You know that one called Countdown about the app that kills people?
No, I never heard of it.
Okay, looks like shit. Like, I was convinced it was going to be garbage. Wasn't that bad.
Really?
Yeah, it was by the books. It wasn't anything great, but I mean, it didn't feel like Tarot or one of those ones that's just like just
right, right.
It at least was competently made, and so it flowed better. I'm trying to think. I watched something though, and I had the same reaction you did, where it's like, yeah, it was a good concept, but they just didn't nail it at the end. Like the ending was just lame. I hate when they don't when the ending just doesn't live up to the rest of the movie.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But. I did like it, though.
No, I did, too. I gave it 7 out of 10.
What did we watch recently? We watched a film called Oddity, Irish horror film, but more in, like, the supernatural. So it wasn't really, mm-hmm. It had a couple of jump scares, but they were well done. That was pretty good. I liked it more than Mare did.
That's the one that I deleted and then got grabbed again after I changed my mind and got another
copy.
Did
you end up watching it, or you just grabbed it?
Not yet, but it's on the list.
It's good. I liked it. Can't think of what else we watched. Oh, we already talked about it. We watched Toxic Avenger. I think I talked to you about that after, after we off air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. It upset me.
Yeah. I got my qualms with it. Overall, I did enjoy it, but I got my major qualms, so.
And as long as you have qualms, sir. I do. As long as you have qualms.
Of course I do.
All right.
Always do.
All right. So next week, the 80s vigilante flick, Alley Cat.
Alley Cat. All right. I love it. All right. Let's go ahead and end this bad boy.
All right.
All right. Thank you, as always, for joining us for yet another episode of Movie Sucktastic. This is episode 455, where we just reviewed Death Laid an Egg, 1968 kind of giallo movie. You can go to our website at moviesucktastic.com, and you can download our shows there. You can listen to the shows there, and you can click on the YouTube links and watch the shows there. Or you can go to YouTube, go to our page, and you can come and hang out with us live every Thursday around 7 to 8 o'clock, somewhere in that range. and you can do that as well. You can go to iTunes, you can listen to the show there. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you can see everything that we post. You can email us at themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. You can call us at 908-514-4470. And you can check out Scott's Letterbox page, letterbox.com/moviesucktastic. And you can download the app for our show at moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk. Or you can just go download your favorite podcast player and do a search for Movie Sucktastic. Every episode comes up 100% free. Enjoy. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
The chicken of tomorrow is headless.
With very little bones. All meat.
All meat.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.